Luke chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8 it says, And they remembered his words." I want to draw your attention to a phrase we find in the fifth verse of Luke 24, and I'd encourage you to notate it in your Bibles by either underlining it or drawing a box or a circle around it, but it's a question. And we find it at the very end of verse number 5, where the angels say unto these women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Why seek ye the living among the dead? This morning, I want you and I to journey back in our minds to a time over 2,000 years ago, to the dusty streets of Jerusalem. Can you see it there in your mind? Dusty streets and these homes all clustered together. The city of Jerusalem is emotionally torn. There's all kinds of emotions going on. 3 days ago, a man who professed to be the Son of God was brutally crucified on a cross. And in the midst of this city, there are people who are glad that he's dead. There's a group of religious zealots, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they are glad that he's dead. They're glad that their plan to crucify him and to take him out of the scene is successful, and they're excited about it. But inwardly, they're still a little concerned that maybe he was the Son of God. So concerned, in fact, that they went to Pilate and asked him if he would put two guards outside of his tomb just to make sure that nobody came and stole his body. So the Pharisees and Sadducees are excited. There are others who are completely unaffiliated. They're unreligious people, and to be quite honest, they're just glad that this prophet and this uproar about this man named Jesus is over and they can go back to their normal life. While yet there are those who are glad and those who are unaffiliated, there are others who sit and have pondered in their minds over the past few days whether or not he really was the Son of God. Was this really the right thing to do, or was it the wrong thing to do? But then we find this final group. It's a group of people who for the last 3 days have spent weeping and crying in desperation, discouragement, and confusion, wondering why their Messiah, the one that they loved, the one that they followed, is dead. And amongst this group of people, we find a group of women, a group of women who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ who loved him. And this morning, I want to join them in our minds, and I want to walk with them down to the tomb. And I want us to feel what they felt, and I want us to sense what it is that they were going through. And then I want you and I to ask ourselves the same question that they were asked by these two angels. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And so this morning, would you journey with me with these group of ladies and let's go there with them in our minds and see what it is that they were going through. And the first thing, if you're taking notes with us this morning, I want you to make note of is this. Let's talk, number one, about their suffering. Number one, let's talk about their suffering. As we join this group and we begin to look around, it doesn't take us long to see that this is a group of women who are in great despair. And we see some things about them, and we note three things about their suffering. Number one, we note that they're sad. We look around and we see these women, and there's not one woman that we look at whose eyes are not pink around the bottoms, and whose possible makeup has been running down their face, and possibly their face is puffy because they've spent the last 3 days weeping, concerned about their Savior, their Messiah, the one that they had walked with, the one that they had talked with. Their heart has been shattered and they're broken and they're full of grief and despair. They're suffering from sadness. Not only are they suffering from sadness, but secondly, we see that they're in shock. The second thing we see is that they are in shock. You know, it's one thing for you and I, and in a culture when we live in where we see so much brutality and so much gruesome things on television, but it's a different thing to imagine being there in person and watching anyone suffer the awful death that they would go through from dying on the cross. And these women not only had to go and witness somebody dying on a cross, but these women went and saw someone that they loved, someone that they had walked with, someone that they had touched, someone that had eaten with them in their home. It's one thing to watch a stranger or a criminal die in such a gruesome way, but it's completely other to see someone that you love die in such a horrible way. And so these women were not only suffering from sadness, these women were no doubt also in shock. Some of them may have been talking a lot in the midst of their time together, but there were others, no doubt, who sat and stared off into abyss, and every time they would close their eyes, all they could see was the bruised and the beaten and the tattered body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could hear His groans on the cross as He would try to take and lift Himself up to try to get another breath. All they could see was the blood that was running down His face and down His body from the crown of thorns that was placed on His head. There was a sense of sadness among those women, but there was also some who were in shock because of what they'd seen. They were not only suffering from sadness and shock, but thirdly, they are scared. They're scared. You say, Pastor, what do they have to be scared of? Well, think about it. They were followers of this man Jesus, who the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin Council and even the governor, the Roman governor Pilate, who had just deemed that he wasn't who he said he was. And so now here's a group of women who followed a man who the most religious crowd in the day deemed that he was a heretic and that he was a false prophet. And no doubt in their minds, they're wondering, well, if they crucified Jesus, I wonder if they're going to come after us next because we followed Him. We clearly followed Him. We were there weeping at the cross, and they know we were part of His followers. They know we were part of His group. Are they going to come after us? Do you think they're going to try to take us before trial? Do you think they're going to try to come and kill us because they killed Him? This is a group of women who are suffering greatly as we join them. We not only see that they were suffering, but secondly, this morning I want you to see that they are seeking. Secondly, I want us to see they're seeking. These women were clearly suffering in a great way, but they were also seeking. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, even the angels, when they address them in verse 5, they allude to that very fact. They say, why seek ye? These women were seeking some things. And let's talk about their seeking for a moment. And notice three things that they're seeking. First thing I want you to see is what they're seeking. What they're seeking. You say, Pastor, they're seeking, but what is it they're looking for? Well, they're looking for the same things that you and I would have been looking for. They're looking for some hope. They're looking for some peace. Quite possibly, they're just looking for some closure. They've gone through this horrible event the last 3 years of their life. They sit and just it goes over and over and over, and they thought that they had found the Messiah, but now He's dead. He didn't come set up His earthly kingdom like they thought He would, and He's dead, and he didn't come down off the cross. He didn't avenge Himself. And they're just trying to wrap their mind around what has taken place. Losing a loved one leaves a vacuum in your life. Some of you have lost a father or a mother. Some of you have lost a grandparent or a loved one. And there's always a vacuum in your life when you lose someone that you love. And part of the grieving process is to try to figure out how to fill that vacuum. That's where these women were. And that's why they're seeking. They're seeking to fill that vacuum and wondering what they're going to do if the Lord Jesus Christ is really dead. Well, we see what they're seeking, some peace, hope, and closure, but notice the way that they're seeking it. Secondly, let's notice the way that they're seeking it. They're doing exactly what we would try to counsel someone who's grieving to do. Number one, we see that they're staying active. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared. and certain others with them. The first thing that they're doing, the way that they're seeking this help, is that they're staying active. The Bible says very early in the morning. They rose up early. Why? Most likely because they couldn't sleep. Possibly they hadn't slept for 3 days since it happened. But they got up early in the morning, and not only do we see that they were early in the morning, but they were staying active because they were preparing. They had gotten some spices together. They couldn't go down the day before because it was the Sabbath day. But during the morning, they've gotten these spices together to go down to the tomb, and they're just trying to keep their mind busy. Not only are they staying active, but they've also surrounded themselves with others. The Bible says at the end of verse 1, it says, "And others with them." We look down in verse 10, and we get a little further description about who these women were. Verse 10 of Luke 24 says, "And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles." So we've got Mary Magdalene, we've got Mary the mother of James, we've got Joanna, and then there's other women. There's just a group of women, and so they've not only tried to stay active to seek this help that they're after, but they've also surrounded themselves with others. All good things, all things that you and I would encourage somebody to do today. So we've seen what they're seeking for. We've seen the way, but notice thirdly, where they're seeking. Notice thirdly this morning where they are seeking. Where did they go? The Bible tells us in verse 1, it says that very early in the morning they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices. They're seeking peace, and they're seeking hope, and they're seeking some closure. Well, where do they go? They go to a graveyard. They go to a tomb. And instead of finding peace, instead of finding hope, they find more confusion. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Well, let's read it again. In verse 2 of Luke 24, it says, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher." Now, for you and I, we read this and we know the rest of the story, but you see, they didn't know that yet. They're actually living it. So when they left, Jesus' body was in the tomb, and they had rolled that gargantuan stone over it. And so here they come walking up, expecting to see that stone still in place, and the stone's been rolled away. And then it says in verse 3, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." You say, "Well, man, shouldn't they have known? He's risen. He's done exactly what he said." Well, remember, you and I are looking at it in hindsight. They're living through it. And instead of being filled with joy and excitement, notice what it says in verse 4. And it says, "It came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout." These women came to the tomb, they came to the grave, and then they get there, the stone's been rolled away, and they look in and there's no Jesus. And instead of it bringing joy and excitement to their heart, they're perplexed, and their mind begins to run 1,000 different places. Where is he? Who's taken him? Have the Pharisees and the Sadducees done something with him? Has some of the disciples snuck over here and together pushed that stone away? And what in the world is going on? And they find themselves in deeper confusion, with even more questions. And while they're filled with this perplexity, they look up and they see two angels. And these two angels began to speak to them. And that's the third and final thing I want us to look at this morning. And the third thing we see is their sermon. The third thing we see about these ladies is their sermon. We've seen their suffering. They're suffering greatly from sadness, and they're suffering from shock, and they're suffering because they're scared. We've seen that they're seeking, and we know what they're seeking. They want some peace and some help and some comfort. And the way that they've gone about it thus far is to surround themselves with others and to stay busy. And we know where they went to seek this peace. They went down to the tomb, but it didn't bring any peace. It just brought more confusion. And these angels are getting ready to preach a little sermon to them. And there's three emphases that they make to this sermon. So we know that they were Baptist angels because they had three points to their sermon. And you can write that down in the margin of your Bible, all right? They were Baptist angels because they had three points. And I want to share those three points with you, all right? Very quickly, we'll be done. The first point that they make, number one, is they informed them he is risen. They informed them he is risen. See, they don't know that yet. All they've come is found a stone rolled away from the tomb, and they come and they tell them that he is risen. Notice what it says here in verse 6. It says, he is not there here, but is risen. They come and they see the stone rolled away, and they look in and they don't see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're filled with perplexity and confusion. But then these two angels are standing there and they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here because he is risen. That should make a Baptist say amen right there. I'm glad that he is risen, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad he's not in the tomb, and I'm glad that these angels declare and inform them that he is risen. So the first point of their sermon is, we want you to know he's risen. But the second point they make is this: they instructed them to remember. The second thing we see is that they instructed them to remember. Notice what he says here, and these angels say in verse 6. He says, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. You see, here's what happens, and it's what happened to these ladies, and it's what happens to you and I. When we go through great difficulties in our life, when we're faced with great tragedy, when we're faced with great heaviness, sometimes our minds are prone to forget the truths and the promises that God has given us into his word. We forget sometimes that God has promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. We forget sometimes that God has called us to cast our burdens on him. We don't do it maliciously, but it's something that happens under the weight and the burden of things of this life. We forget, and sometimes we need somebody to remind us that God is who he said he was, and remind us that God told us this may happen. And that's what these angels are doing. They come to them and they first say, look, you need to understand he's not here because he is risen. But secondly, you need to remember. Remember that this is exactly what he told you he was going to do. He told you that he would destroy this temple and in 3 days he'd raise it up. He told you that this is what would happen. And notice what it says in verse 8. It says, and they remembered his word. Oh, what a comfort that must have been as these angels told them that. And almost the same as it was with Peter. You remember the Lord told Peter that he would deny him 3 times before the cock crowed twice. And don't you know that that moment that the cock crowed, that third time he denied him, that Peter's mind immediately remembered what Jesus had told him. And as this happened, as these angels said what they said, don't you remember he told you this is what was going to happen? The alarms went off and every one of those women's minds said, that's exactly right. That's what he told us. His body's not been stolen. He's God. He's just done what he said. Our Messiah lives because he's risen. And they were excited. The sermon that they were preached, they informed them he is risen. They instructed them to remember. But then the third and final thing I want you to see this morning is this. They inquired of these women with a rebuke. They inquired of these women with a rebuke. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. What do you mean they inquired of these women with a rebuke? Well, these angels actually begin with a question. And the question is actually a gentle form of rebuking them for their lack of faith. Notice what they say in verse 5. It says, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, this is the angel speaking, why seek ye the living among the dead? They ask them this question. They say, why have you come seeking the living among the dead? Why have you come to a tomb? Why have you come to a graveside looking for somebody who's alive? You want hope? You want peace? Why are you looking here? There's no life, there's no hope, there's no peace in a graveside. What the angels were telling them is that they were looking in the wrong place to find comfort and the joy that they wanted. Say, Pastor, where are you going with all of this? Here's the application I want to make to you. So many people in our society today, maybe some of you in this room this morning, are exactly where these women are. It's not for the exact same set of circumstances, but as we walk through that, you could relate with everything they were going through. Some of you here this morning may be suffering. Your heart is sad. Your heart is in shock of some things that have gone on in your life. And you're scared about the outcome, and you don't know exactly how things are going to work out. And not only are you suffering, but just like these women, some of you here this morning may be seeking. You're seeking, how am I going to have peace? Where am I going to find this peace? Where am I going to find hope? Where am I going to find direction? And you've tried to do all the things that you can do. Man, you've researched it on the internet. You've talked to your friends. You've surrounded yourself with people. And you're trying your best to work it out. But the problem for many people in our society today is this. We've got the same problem that these women had. We're looking for hope. We're looking for joy. And we're looking for peace in a place where there is no peace and there is no lasting joy. That grave, that tomb could bring no joy, and it could bring no hope, and it could bring no peace to the lives of those women. And these angels asked them, why are you seeking for all these things in a place that is dead? Why are you seeking for life in a place where dead people dwell? And what God is trying to say to you this morning through this preacher is this. If you want joy, if you want hope, if you want peace, if you want eternal life and a hope in heaven, you will not find it in the dead things of this world. There is nothing in this world that can bring you a lasting peace. It may bring you a momentary peace. It may bring you a momentary joy, but there is nothing that can ease your heart. There's nothing that can give you eternal life except for one thing, and that is the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can bring you that lasting peace in the midst of a crisis. He's the only one that can give you that direction. The Bible says that He guides our steps, and the Bible says that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's the only one who can bring the hope that you're seeking. He's the only one that could calm the nerves and could bring joy to these women, and He's the only one who can bring it to us. So I ask you this morning, just as these angels asked these women, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why do you keep looking into the wrong places and you keep coming up dry and you say, I just can't find it, peace. I can't find the hope. I can't find the joy. Maybe it's because you're looking in the wrong places. And this morning, if you want eternal life, if you want hope, if you want joy, if you want peace, then stop looking in the wrong places. Stop looking to the world. Stop thinking to yourself, if I just had a little bit more money, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You'd have that many more problems. If I just take another drink, maybe it'll ease some of this pain that I'm going through. No, it's not. If I could just have another husband, if I could just have another wife, maybe I wouldn't be feeling what I'm going through. It's got to be better than this out here. No, you have the same problems with them that you got with the current one you've got. The problem is not the fact that there's not any hope and any joy out there. The problem is sometimes we look in the wrong places. I'll tell you this too, as I close. If you want peace about having a home in heaven, you'll not find it looking for religion. You can go to every Baptist church in the state of North Carolina. It'd take you a while, but you could go. You'd go to every Lutheran church. You'd go to every Catholic church. You'd go to every Methodist church. You'd go to every Unitarian church. You'd go to a Scientology church. You can go to any kind of church there is, because religion cannot bring you peace. It cannot bring you hope. And it cannot get you a home in heaven. There is only one thing that can assure you to have a home in heaven, and that is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate Him because He rose from the grave. And because He rose from the grave, it means that you and I have hope for life eternal. And so this morning, whatever it is you need, my dear friend, you'll not find it looking anywhere else except to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever your need is, I hope this morning that you'll find it in Him, because He is risen today. He is alive today. And better than that, He's waiting today for you to come to Him so He can meet your needs. Let's pray together.